Training. This is Module 4 in the Accord Life and Annuity Standards Training. This module covers the basics of XML and why XML is used for the Accord Standard. XML stands for Extensible Markup Language. Technology is a technology that's not tied to any specific platform or vendor. And that's really, though not only the only reason, but it's one of the biggest reasons why XML works so well for Accord. And for most standards bodies these days. If it were a technology that were tied to Sun Java or to IBM Java or to Microsoft even, ASP Pages, C Sharp, you name it, it would be a technology that would always have a vendor bias, if you will, and concerns by those that want to try to use it on another platform. XML was developed by the W3C, World Wide Web Consortium, and it was developed to be specifically platform independent. For more information on that, you can visit the W3C site at w3c.org or w3.org. XML is really evolutionary and not revolutionary. It's been touted and hyped today as being a revolutionary concept, but it really isn't. It really hasn't been. It's extended from an earlier method of communication that we called EDI. EDI was simply two computers sending a file to each other or a stream of data to each other in a very fixed record or fixed length format. In this format, we would just simply know, because we talked to each other, that character 37 in my stream, if it's set to X, means my party wants to purchase insurance. If it's set to N, it means it's a modification to insurance policy, et cetera, et cetera. So in this slide, we see a sample of an EDI, which is actually fairly readable in comparison to some of the EDI formats I've seen in the past. But it gives you an idea of how EDI record formats laid out. I can pretty much guess at what some of this information is, but as we look through it, I see a series of numbers before Ohio, and I don't know if that's a phone number. I see a 1 before USA. I'm not sure what that number is for. And I have to pretty much be set to guessing to what this information is for. So it's extremely hard to read. It's also rigid because I have a very set limited number of characters I can use for my name in this situation. If I need to go from 35 to 36 characters in my feed, I need to change all of my file formats, and the computers need to change, and applications need to change, et cetera, et cetera. And it also runs into versioning problems for the same problem. If I'm using a version that has 38 characters, and I tried to send it to a message computer that's only using 37 characters or 35, we run into versioning problems. On the next slide, we see a sample of XML. And this is actually, in looking at this, an actual example, a partial example of what you would see in Accord XMLife. Here I see I have something called a party. I may not know exactly what that is, but I can read on and see I have a full name. Okay, it's Gallo Joseph. I see a government ID. Oh, that string of numbers was a government ID. It wasn't a phone number. I see that the resident state is Ohio, the country, et cetera, et cetera. I can read on down this and get a pretty good idea of what's going on. So even before I understand all the semantics between all about all this tags and all this information in this dictionary, I have a good idea of what's going on. So it's very self-describing and easy to read. It's also structured. You can see that my address is broken down into an address type code, a line 1, a city, a state, a zip, et cetera. So I can see that all the information about address is related together. And is extensible, which we really won't get into here, but I can add information and add data to this without upsetting somebody down the line who can read the information in the tags that they're familiar with. XML, however, stops short of defining the data itself. It's really nothing more than a language. Saying something is developed in XML is like saying a novel is written in English. It really doesn't tell you the content of the novel or the flow of the novel. You just know what language it's in. Accord provides the vocabulary for that language. And by that I mean it's something akin to a dictionary. So in our businesses, where from one company to the next, we have terminology like target premium or a component or a life insurance coverage or an annuity or a variable annuity. All these terms have meaning, but it's usually very localized. And the broader meaning is defined in the standard, so that we have a common set of terminology of how to exchange and describe our business and describe our messages. This vocabulary is then reusable, since we could define a policy in one way at all times. If I want to create a variable policy, I can base it on the policy that I've already defined and add the variable components. And it's also interoperable. I can send the messages between several companies. We all know what we're talking about. In the next section here, I'm going to talk a little bit about the basics of XML. Now, this isn't really intended to be XML for dummies. You could probably use it for that. We're covering probably 80% of the basics of XML. It is, just so that you know, geared specifically for what we use in the Accord Life and Annuity Standard. So don't depend on it on your, for your knowledge of XML. That being said, if all you did was follow these slides, understand and digest the information presented here, you would have literally everything you need to know about XML in order to be able to do Accord XML. The very basic of XML, the very basis of XML is centered around something that we call a tag. A tag is really nothing more than the name of a piece of data. It's delimited by angle brackets, or a less than and a greater than on either side. So you see in our first example here, I have a tag called full name. The less than and greater than aren't part of the tag name. I just know the tag is called full name is how we would say that. All the data that I would want to exchange between two computers is represented between a begin and end tag. And we call that that tag is content, or the data. So here I have full name, Cheney, comma, Clifford, and it's delimited by front slash full name. So full name without the slash in it and full name beginning with a slash gives us our begin and end pair of tags. So in this case I know that my full name is Cheney, comma, Clifford. There is a shorthand for tags that don't have any content. They don't have any data that appears between them. I'd have no Cheney, comma, Clifford in this situation. That shorthand is to have my tag full name represented with just a slash. You can see that here in the presentation. And that is essentially the exact same as the following line, where I have just a beginning and ending tag for full name with nothing in between them. It would be technically possible to be able to tell the difference between those two tags or those two usages, but in the Accord standard we don't distinguish, and it's generally difficult. Nobody uses that. So the two are essentially the same. Tags then can become, when they represent data, we say that a tag is either simple type or complex type. When it's a simple type, we have just what you see here, tag, data here, end tag. There's nothing but content between the two tags. So in my full name example, I would say my tag is full name, the value of that tag is Cheney, comma, Clifford, and the full name is a simple type because there's nothing but content between the two tags. A complex type is really taking the same idea, just only one step further. If my address is broken into a line 1, line 2, and city, estate, and zip, I can have a tag called address, and under that, child tags line 1 and city. So you can see from this example, then, my address is broken down into a line 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, and any street, and a city of Lincoln. Mixed types is just combining the idea of a simple type and a complex type. It's the idea of I could start off with a full name, and I could say full name, and then say Cheney, comma, and then maybe have a first name tag, Clifford. Technically, you can do this, but it's really out of scope for this discussion. Don't use in the Accord standard. The entire standard is written around not using that practice. On the next slide here, we talk about attributes. Attributes is really another way of including data within the begin tag of a tag. So here we have gender, TC equals 1. In this situation, the TC is the attribute. The name of that attribute is TC. Whereas before I had address line 1, I would say that line 1 is a property or an element of address. TC is an attribute or a child element of gender as well. Very similar in concept, it's just expressed in a different way. The Accord standard has very limited uses of attributes. Predominantly, all data is exchanged between tags and child tags. There are a few exceptions, and we'll cover those. A special type of attribute is called an ID-ID ref pair. This is simply a way of referring one tag to another tag. The two of these, an ID represents a tag's handle. It's the address of where you want to send something. An ID ref is the pointer. I want to point from this object using an ID ref to point to another object. I'm going to point to that other object's ID. So in our example here, I have a party with an ID equals, quote, party underscore one. We're going to ignore any data that would be in there. The idea is I now have an identifier for my party called party one. My financial statement then is going to have a mail to party ID equals party underscore one. So that's a way of saying my financial statement, mails its statement to party one. There's some other advantages of between ID and ID rep. We're not going to get to them in this segment. Just realize that all IDs in the standard, though they don't need to be this way in XML in general, in the Accord XM Life standard, all of our IDs are labeled ID. That will always be the tag name. The ID refs will vary, as you see in this example, mail to party ID. Additionally, each XML document in that, according to W3C's XML standard, is a single document. It's called, sometimes this can be called a root element, or generally in W3C terminology, it's called a document. Don't be confused by this. It's really nothing more than a complex type. It's one element who has child elements. That's our definition of a complex type. And it's really a way of saying everything that I send you can only begin with one tag and ultimately end with that one tag. I can send you as much data and as many tags as I want in between those two, but I have one begin and one open at the very root, or the root element, also called document. Finally, we're going to touch a little bit on something called a schema. A schema is really nothing more than another document that tells me all the rules behind XML. So let's look on that next one. This schema tells me, it's a W3C standard way of defining that your address must have a line 1, followed by a line 2, followed by a city, followed by a state, etc., etc. So it tells you what are the valid tags for any particular message or a document, the ordering and sequencing of those tags, which tag must come before which other, the cardinality, some tags may repeat, some must repeat, some are required, some are optional, so the cardinality, and then some business rules, minimums, maximums, formatting rules, etc., etc. The schema itself is an XML document. To the casual user, you won't be using schema documents themselves very much. But if you're going to be implementing the standard, you'll need to start with an Accord schema, which describes the message and all the rules that we've been talking about. Finally, a little bit of terminology. An XML message is a good one. It's considered well-formed and valid. A well-formed XML message only means that my begin and end pair tags match. It means that I have a single document or a single root element. And then everything's nested properly. If you've seen the example here, if you've ever done any development in XML, I can have an I tag, maybe that's italics, hello, a B tag, Mr. Smith, and then close my I tag followed by closing my B tag. That's valid HTML, and it works. I can read this and I understand what's intended here. In XML, however, that's bad. It's invalid and it won't work. It simply will not be well formed because my beginning and end pairs are not nested properly. Finally, we say something is valid if the message is not only well formed, but it also follows all the rules as specified in what we were talking about before that schema document. Finally, it's actually a fairly advanced topic, one of namespaces, and I really only include it here for completeness. Namespaces is simply a way of differentiating between two tags that have the same name. So if you're only dealing within the Accord standard, you probably wouldn't be coming across this. It would only happen in a situation where somebody wants to combine two different standards and say they have their definition of address, which is different than Accord's definition of address, and they want to be able to exchange that in the same message. This is done by prefixing each element with a namespace identifier, as you see in the example here presented at the bottom of the slide. I have NS colon age. That's just saying the age tag's coming from a namespace that I'm calling NS. There's a few more subtleties in there in being able to tie a namespace to different schemas and that sort of thing. The only thing that I would say is, so long as the same namespace, if you ever open up an XML document, it has a namespace prefixes, characters before a colon. So long as they're all the same in your document, you can simply ignore them. If you're using one and you see NS age and later on in your document you see XY colon age, then you have a problem and you're really talking about two different tags and elements. Really beyond that, we're getting into advanced topics that we really don't need to get into in this presentation. So that concludes Module 4 of the Accord Life and Annuity Standards Training Seminar. In this module, we covered the benefits of XML, why XML is used for our training, and some of the XML basics, the basic knowledge you need to be able to implement XML in the Accord Life Standard.